Real mothers are special people. Real mothers would like to be able to eat a candy bar all by themselves and drink a Coke without any floaters in it. Real mothers know that their kitchen utensils are probably going to end up in the sandbox. Real mothers often have sticky floors, filthy ovens, and happy kids. Real mothers know that dried Play-Doh does not come out of shag carpets. Real moms sometimes ask, why me? And then they get their answer with a little voice says, because I love you best. Real mothers know that a child's growth isn't measured by height or years or grade. It's marked by the progression of from mama to mommy to mom. Mothers are an integral part of our lives. We wouldn't be who we are without our mothers. Mothers gave birth to us. Genesis 3:16 says, to the woman, God said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. In pain, mothers give birth to their children. We men have seen videos of it in Lamaze class, but we've never experienced it. We all try to come up with some kind of pain that we've had, saying this is probably the closest thing to childbirth that there is. Any woman would slap you if you told her that. There's no such thing as childless pain or painless childbirth, epidurals notwithstanding. A young couple had their first child, and on the first Sunday, the new mother brought her baby to church, and everyone said something like, oh, what a cute little baby. Speaking of that, there is a cute little baby back there. And everyone said that, well, what a cute little baby. And the mother said, yeah, but he's going to be an only child. So at first they thought, you know, that they couldn't have any more children. But what she was saying was, I'm never going through this again. And of course, we know that guys don't see it the same way. Another couple had five kids, and the father was asked what he thought about childbirth. And he says, oh, it's just like having pigs. Needless to say, they didn't have any more kids after that comment. So thank you, moms, for going through the pain of childbirth for us. Mothers raise us. Psalm 31:27 says, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Many mothers have devoted their entire lives to the home and the raising of their children. You've heard the old saying, man works from sun to sun, but a woman's job is never done. Mothers may well be the hardest working people in the world. Amen. Many mothers work at full-time jobs outside the home and then come home and continue to work. They come home, prepare the evening meal, do the dishes, do laundry, clean the house, catch up on work they brought home, and on until they fall asleep in their chair. So thank you, Mom, for working hard and raising us. Mothers protect us. Exodus 2:3 says, when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus. Thank you. The eye saw it, but the mouth didn't. Okay. She got a basket for him, and she plastered it with bitumen and pitch and put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. She took her baby boy and put him in a basket and sent him down the river into the arms of Pharaoh's daughter. She had to protect him from Pharaoh, and if it was saving his life meant that his son would never know her, that's the way it had to be. Only a mom could do that. She would protect him no matter what. Because of her protection, Moses grew into the man and set his people free from the bondage of evil of Egypt. So thank you, moms, for protecting us. Mothers sacrifice for us. 1 Kings 17 says, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the women for her family. That's a great story if you want to ever read that in 1 Kings. That is a really good story. A teacher asked the boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were six of you, your parents and four kids. What part of the pie would you get? A fifth, he replied. Well, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions very well, the teacher said. Remember, there are six of you. Yes, teacher, said the boy, but you don't know my mom. Mom said she would never want any pie. So thank you, Mom, for going without for us. Mothers love us. 1 Kings 3:26 says, the woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. In all situations, mothers love us. I guess when it comes right down to it, mothers matter because of something more basic than their protection, their support, or their teaching. The real reason they matter is because they love us. They just love us. There's something innate built into a woman when she becomes a mother, and they just love us. Think back to when you were a kid and how your mom just loved you because you were just the creepy little kid. See, and the ones of us laugh were the creepy little kids. So no matter what, they love us. And that's why they get better presents than dads do on Father's Day. Dads get a ceramic mug, but for Mom on Mother's Day, the little boy gets a piece of wood out of the gutter, puts a little nick in it with his penknife, and presents it to his mother on Mom's Day. She starts crying and forgiving him for everything he's ever done. Mothers love us no matter what. Mother's Day is our opportunity to say thank you, Mom. Thanks for knowing we never meant it when we got mad and said we hated you. Thanks for forgiving us when we broke your grandmother's antique china. Thanks for being a great mom even when we took you for granted. Thanks for making a difference in our lives. Thanks for loving us. And we want you to know we love you too, and we're sorry for not saying it more often. We need to express our appreciation of our mothers because the impact they have on our lives. Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give back something to their moms for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces, all the old gum they held in their hands, all the noses they wipe, and all the bloody knees they made well with a kiss. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the school bus, and enduring all the football games in the rain. It's Appreciation Day for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do and spending and sharing the good times and their bad times. The cards probably won't reflect it, but what they're really trying to say is, thank you, Mom, for showing up. Wow. So, thanks, Mom. And regardless of what your background was and what your mother was like or whatever your relationship with your moms, we can still say Happy Mother's Day to the mothers that we have here. God bless you. So let's read Exodus 1. And we'll talk about a couple other mothers. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sifra, and the other was named Puah. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? The midwives said to the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can get to them. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all of his people, saying, every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Wow. This king's hatred of the people of Israel just goes beyond comprehension. He was so afraid that the Hebrew people would rise up against them, that the population would overthrow the powers of Egypt. And he considered them, all of them, to be a threat. So as a result of this perceived emergency, the Hebrew people were enslaved. Oppression and cruelty were the result of a suspicious king, to the point that the Hebrew slaves' lives became unbearable. But apparently, forced labor wasn't enough for this king. He decided that genocide would be the next best thing. Man. The evil Egyptian king formulated a wicked scheme, and he summoned Sisera and Puah, the Hebrew midwives, and instructed them to kill every boy that was born to a Hebrew woman. Sisera and Puah are recorded in Israelite history as saviors. Now, Puah is a personal name, and we don't know the meaning of it, whereas Sisera means beauty. They were midwives, but it would be wrong to assume that they were the only two midwives in Egypt at the time. They were probably the most likely, the highest ranking members of the midwives due to their Egyptian names. And in biblical times, midwives did the job of what a physician does nowadays in helping women give birth. The mother sat on a birthing stool. And Ezekiel talks about this in more detail, but he tells some of the duties of the midwives. They cut the umbilical cord, they washed the infant in water, rubbing it with salt, and then wrapping it in swaddling cloths. Didn't know that. Now that makes sense, huh? When Jesus was born, she wrapped him in swaddling cloths. So these Hebrew wives clearly served the Egyptians as well as the large Hebrew population. So as the Hebrew population living in Egypt was exploding, it would appear that these numbers worried the new king. In addition, Egypt had enemies surrounding them, and so he was afraid that not only would they be attacked from without, but they might even be attacked from within. Without concern for themselves, the midwives sought to preserve life rather than to take life. In their actions, they mirrored the very nature of God. God is the giver and sustainer of life. So at this moment in time, goodness and evil were doing battle, and the women were formidable opponents. With proper respect for God, they stood their ground and they weren't willing participants. These unknown women emerged as heroines, and rightly so. In a male-dominated society, these women used their initiative. Besides, they were prepared to face up to the anger of the king. The reality of life suggests that evil will raise its ugly head when we least expect it. The question then arises, when evil is present, what are we willing to face up to it? These women were ready. They respected and revered God. The reality is, a godly person has might and power beyond themselves. So Sisera and Puah leave an example for us to emulate. They stood against evil. So as quickly as they appear on the scene in this account in the Bible, they disappear. And we're told in the next stage of the Egyptians, king's plan was to throw all the babies into the water. Since he couldn't kill them all the first time, he decided to throw them all into the river. And there's nothing... That tells us what happened to these two women after that, because they said that they were given families and they had kids of their own. So it doesn't say whether or not they complied with the king's edict or not. It seems that they probably did not. Job, a man who was well acquainted with suffering, uttered, "Let him kill me. I have no other hope than to justify my conduct in his eyes." These two women decided that they feared God more than they feared man. Then we have another interesting story. It's in the second part of this chapter in Exodus 2. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then her sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became his son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Isn't that a great story? I love that. Moses' mom, her name was Jochebed. She bore Moses into a culture that was hostile to Hebrew boys. And she was so afraid that the Hebrew boys, all the Hebrew boys, would be killed. So she loved her son so much that she's put him in a basket and sent him down a river. And then God took over. And it ended up that she got to nurse her baby. Oh, isn't God good? Oh. Pharaoh was afraid that one day that all these boys would rise up and stand up against Egypt. So he found these midwives, and that didn't work. So his next thing was throw all these babies in the water. There was a tradition given to us about Moses by Josephus. And Josephus was a Jewish historian that wrote 30 years after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And he tells Amram, that's Moses' dad. So Amram and Jochebed were his mom and dad. There'll be a quiz later. Name one of them. But Amram received a vision from God that Moses was to confound Egypt and set Israel free. There's also a tradition that tells us that the astrologers of Pharaoh informed him that a special Jewish male child was born. Wow. What a parallel between Moses and Jesus, isn't it? That explains why Aaron was allowed to live and the boys born with Moses were sentenced to die. So here's the principle to learn from this. The devil will always set up a cultural standard in hopes of derailing God's plan. Right? Because if you don't know anything about the culture today, it is totally opposed, 100% diametrically opposed to God's plans. So remember, God's will is what you would want if you were smart enough to want it. Isn't that good? God's will is what you would want if you were smart enough to want it. The standard was to destroy the lives of these Hebrew boys because they threatened their way of life. So what cultural or societal standard are you surrendered to today? What do your children see? You have to remember that your children will do what they see you do, not what you tell them not to do. Growing up, it was my generation, and my mom and dad's generation was, don't do as I do as I say. What? No wonder we're messed up. Good night. I want you to encourage you to have the courage and faith of Jochebed. What is your standard of morality, social or biblical? What is your standard of sexuality, social or biblical? What is your financial standard? What are your kids seeing you do, whether it's biblical or social? Do you understand what I'm saying? Jochebed had her standard in God. Her standard was the living God. Moms, it's not impossible to reject the standard of the world. Cultural and societal standards change while God's truth never changes. Jochebed couldn't hide Moses all his life, but all of life is preparing your children to leave. Raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Because they remember that you love them and you taught them godly principles. Prepare them with love, prepare them with truth. The greatest way to prepare your children for the world is to share Jesus Christ with them. Period. The greatest joy outside of their birth will be you directing them to Jesus Christ as their Savior and their rebirth. Some of you sit here today under the burden that God wants to relieve you of. You may have lost a child and wonder what you did wrong. Your child may be trapped in a destructive lifestyle. There's a limit to what you can do to protect them. There are decisions that destroy and lead them to being devoured by the desires and the devil. Jesus Christ came to set you free of the burden of their bad decisions. Hold on to that truth. Hold on to that fact. That as much as we have moms that love us with anything that we do, God loves us all the much more. I want to tell you what my mom taught me. My mom taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. She said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. You thought I was making these up, huh? They're actually true. My mother taught me irony. Just keep laughing, I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You're going to sit there until all that spinach is finished. My mother taught me about weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me how to solve physics problems. If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming towards you, would you listen then? Yeah. What? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about the behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. When God created mothers, this is from Irma Bombeck. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one. And God said, have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And six pairs of hands. The angel shook her head slowly and said, six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems, God remarked. It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. That's on the standard model? Asked the angel. God nodded. One pair that sees through the closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there? When she already knows. another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but she has to know. And of course, the ones that are in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and says, "I understand and I love you," without as much as uttering a word. "God," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "get some rest tomorrow." "I can't," said God. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed, "but tough," said God excitedly. "You can imagine what his mother can do or endure. Can it think? Well, not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said God. "It's a tear." "Well, what's it for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. Somberly, God said, "I didn't put it there." So thank you, moms, for what you've done. Thank you, moms, for what you're doing now. And we pray that God would bless you immensely on this day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the stories of moms and what you've done to make them so very special. We love them. And we thank you for them loving us. No matter what we did, no matter how many times we messed up, they loved us. And they love us now. So Lord, I pray that you would bless all the mothers here today. I pray that you would bless all the mothers that are enjoying time with their families elsewhere. That you would just help them to see how great a person that they really are, and how blessed we are to have moms such as this. And we thank you, and we give you all the praise, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And if you haven't made reservations somewhere, it's probably too late, because I believe Mother's Day is just the craziest day at any restaurant that you will go to. So go home and make your mom a meal. Yes, they do. So.